Well, praise God. Tonight I want to talk about reigning in life because of the grace of God. Reigning in life because of the grace of God. You know, Jesus didn't come so that we could be reigned over by this world, by the devil and his bunch. We are to reign in life. The Amplified Bible there in Romans, I'm going to have you turn to John chapter 1 first of all. It says we're to reign as kings in life. How many of you think a king lives a pretty good life? Right? They live a good life. And we are to reign as those kings. Kings made that way by the grace of God. When we talk about God's grace here, we're not talking about, the definition that a lot of folks use is unmerited favor or undeserved favor. But really, grace is an aspect, if you will. It is an outpouring of God's love. It's the love of God for us. And his grace does for us what we could not do for ourselves. His grace has done already for us through Jesus Christ and obviously through God's plan for us. He is a gracious God. Grace proceeds from him for us. You can't earn it. We can't work for it. He's already done it. The only thing we can do is receive it. And grace and faith, someone called them the power twins, that they work together. Thank God for that. But I want to talk about grace tonight. Here in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice that. Not just having a little. He's full of grace. I love that about God. You know, anything that comes from God, anything that has to do with him, that has to do with Jesus, there's no indication that it's just barely enough. Right? There's always the indication that it's full. It's overflowing. I love that he says he didn't just make us conquerors. He made us more than conquerors. Right? I mean, it's good to be a conqueror, but how about being more than a conqueror? God is that way. And his grace, Jesus came full of grace and truth. Keep reading here. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Of his fullness, he said, we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Well, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant, established upon better promises. What Jesus did is greater than what Moses did. Moses gave God's people the law that came from God. There wasn't anything wrong with the law. What was wrong was mankind couldn't fulfill the law. Amen. And the law came to teach us, to be our schoolmaster, if you will, to teach us that we, through our own efforts, could never measure up to God's righteous standard. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Old Testament says our righteousness is as filthy rags. And all those things are true. I can't produce enough right things to make me right with God. But thank God, God could. And he did it through Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's called the grace of God. He said here that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So I want to spend some time in the book of Romans tonight looking at this subject of grace and how that it affects us. So let's go to Romans chapter 3 first of all, please. Romans chapter 3. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen? Thank God. You know, we're not going to turn there tonight, but I quote it. I don't know. You know, those of you who know Pastor Craig, how many of you have heard Pastor Craig preach? Have you heard him preach a sermon without mentioning John 10:10? No, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, sometimes I think he wrote that verse, but he didn't. But I like to quote Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. That grace is what saved us. Glory to God. The word saved there just doesn't mean to be born again. It means to be delivered. It means to be kept safe. It means to be healed. It means so much more. And it's by God's grace. But grace, here's the thing about grace. Grace provides ahead of time what you need before you even know you need it. In other words, he's already done the work. Some folks talk about, I love to hear it too, talk about the finished work of Christ. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus still isn't doing something, but he doesn't have to go to the cross again, right? He already went. He doesn't have to die on our behalf. He already did. He doesn't have to be separated from God for us. He already was. He doesn't have to rise again. He already did. He doesn't have to ascend to the right hand of God and be seated there. He already did. Glory to God. So that work is finished. And when he finished it, when he sat down at the right hand of God, everything that we read about in the New Testament became ours. Now, how do we enter into that? Through faith, right? Now, and that's why faith and grace go together, because if it's not faith, then it becomes works. You see, faith is not a work. Faith is receiving what has already been done for you. All right? Look here in Romans chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we cannot justify, mean declared righteous in his sight. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, a way to become righteous with God without fulfilling the law has been manifested to us or been revealed to us. Even the righteousness of God, verse 22 says, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Notice that you have to believe. If you don't believe, it's not going to be upon you. But if you believe it, it'll be upon you. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, when you read that, he's not putting us down. He's just saying, hey, I got some good news for you. You know, you might have thought, well, that person, you know, look at them. Oh, now, you know, it's easy for God to save them. It's just as easy for God to save the most perfect person there ever was, and there's not one but Jesus. It's just as easy for him to save the person who was the best than it is to save the person who was the worst. Amen? Why? Because it's God's work, not mine. Amen. And with God, how many of you, you know, have you thought about it? With God, nothing is impossible. We read those things. Nothing's impossible with God. But yeah, how many times in our mind do we think, well, I don't know how God could ever save that person. They're just too, I had a pastor tell me one time, this area is gospel hardened. God just can't get through to them. I thought, dear brother, you're a Rhema graduate. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. But there's no condemnation. I wouldn't want to bring condemnation on him. But to say that and then in the next, you know, go out and preach a sermon that God can do all things. Well, you just said God couldn't get to these people because they were hardened to the gospel. No, no, no. Amen. If they're hardened, just put a little salt on it. Have any of you ever softened something up with some salt? Yeah. In fact, I got a place in my driveway that I actually put too much salt. Ate a little hole in the concrete, right? But it softened up that ice, got rid of it. But it softened the concrete too, unfortunately. But the salt of the word of God. Now, verse 24 says, being justified, being declared right. Notice this, freely. Everybody say freely. Freely. So if it's free, does it cost you anything? No, it's free. It's free. If it's free, you can't pay for it. Right? You can't do enough to get it. You can't do anything to get it. It's free. As far as earning it, it's free. So when somebody wants to give you something, if I say, here, I want to give this to you, it's free. What do you have to do? You have to reach out and take hold of it, right? That's all faith does. But notice it says freely by his grace. So in other words, what paid for it? God's grace. What provided it? It was his grace. Amen. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now remember, he said grace came by Jesus Christ. Now let's go over to chapter 4. These things aren't necessarily new things, but I think we need to remind ourselves sometimes, because Paul had to tell the Galatians, he said, he even called them foolish. You foolish Galatians, did you begin in the spirit and are now made perfect by the works of the flesh? He said, who beguiled you to think that now that you began in faith, now you have to work to be right with God? No, praise God. We don't have to work to be right with God. Our righteousness is by faith in Jesus Christ. Now look here. He's going to use Abraham as our example. Chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, or his flesh, is found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. See, if Abraham was declared right, and there was a righteousness that was counted to him, if he was declared right with God based on what he had done, then he'd have a right to stand up and say, it was me, and pat himself on the back and say, look at me, I am right with God because of what I did. But he said, no, he said, not before God. Look at verse 3. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now here again, let me say this again. Believing God is never considered a work as far as God's concerned. When you believe God, you're not works. That has nothing to do with works. That's not the work of the law. You know, I hear some people in talking about this say, well, if you're telling me I have to believe God, you're putting me back under bondage. It is never bondage to believe God. And it's not working to believe God. It's just natural. If you're a Christian, aren't you a believer? I'm a believer. Well, then believe, right? It's not a hard thing. It's what comes naturally to you. But grace, you realize this, in believing, I'm not trying to pay God for it. That's just how God has decided I'm to receive it. How many of you have a bank account? All right, got some money in there, right? All of us could probably use more, but there's some money in there. But you know this, they won't let you get money out of there unless you do it according to their rules. Is that right? God has deposited for every Christian the deposits of grace, everything you'd ever need in your life, but you have to get it God's way, and that's through believing, through faith. So how did Abraham, he said here, look at this. He said in verse 3, for what says the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now look at verse 4. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. How many of you have a job that when you go to work and you put in the time, then they pay you? You realize that they are in debt to you for your time. You worked for it. You earned it. But salvation, you can't classify it like that. You can never think of salvation that way, that I put the work in and now I've earned it. You see, that's what he's saying. He said, to him that works, it's reward. You cannot call it grace if you worked for it. So for by grace are you saved, you could never say, I worked for my salvation. Or I worked for my healing. Or I worked for my deliverance. No. Now there might be some things God requires you to do, but again, that's not work. Believing God, that's not work. It's not a burden to do what God said, to obey God. I love that in 1 John chapter 5. He says, his commandments are not burdensome, one translation says. Another place it says his commandments are not grievous. In other words, they don't cause grief. Obeying God is freedom. We're not putting you under bondage to say, hey, love your neighbor. That's not bondage. That's freedom. Okay? So let's go to chapter 5 now. Are you staying with me here? This is some good stuff now. Oh, I'm sorry. Before you go there, look at verse 16. I'm sorry. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 4. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Notice this again. If it's not of faith, then it's not grace. And if it's not grace, you can't have faith in it. So think of it this way. I can never put faith in my own works of trying to be right with God. I can't measure up. I could never put faith in that. But if it's of faith, then it has to be by grace. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, in talking about this, in Galatians chapter 3, it says, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when he says that the promise might be sure to all the seed, then he's talking. If you're a Christian in here tonight, he's talking to you tonight. Now notice, how does it come? It's of faith because it's by grace. Now what is it you have need of tonight? I mean, we don't have to have testimonies, but think, if you have need of something, there's something in your life that you have need of or something that you desire, it's going to come by grace through faith. Not something I earn. Well, if I'll just fast and pray enough. What if I fasted 21 days? How about 21 minutes, you know, for me, that'd be a lot. But how about 21 days, you know? What are you laughing at? Don't be laughing over here. This bunch here. And not be laughing. I know too much about this bunch over here. All right. You don't even want me to get started. I have the microphone, so don't even get me started on you guys. I was looking up there earlier, and I was looking up there and said, yeah, he's getting married soon. Those two are getting married soon. That one's getting married soon. Single, 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 already married. I thought, bless their hearts. Did you know, see these two back here? Jeremiah. Just, they're engaged. They're getting married in September. These two up here, which one of those is my daughter, her and that guitar player, they're getting married. And then where's Evan? Evan, wave your hand. He's getting married. How many days, Evan? 1 month and he. Every time I ask him, he's got an answer. Like 1 month and 14 days. He's got it going. Amen. Hallelujah. How many married folks would reach your hands that way and pray a blessing over those folks, right? Lord, help them. Glory to God. But it can never be something that I've done that caused it, because if it's that, then I've done away with grace, and that's not of God. Well, if I could just pray. I remember several years ago back in the 80s, you know, we had this pray for 1 hour. I had to get up early before anybody else was up, it seemed like. Show up at the church at 6 o'clock and pray for an hour. God bless Larry Lee. But you remember that? Had to pray for an hour, you know. And you get people down there and if I wasn't leading, I wasn't staying awake. I'm going to tell you that. But leading that, and that was the thing. If you didn't pray for an hour, then you'd miss it. Well, what was magical about an hour? What was spiritual about that? See, it became a work. It was not something that you did. Well, if I can just confess by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, if I can confess it 1,000 and a few odd times, then I know I'll get it. Because brother or sister so-and-so, I heard them preach, and they said they confessed it 1,000 times. They counted, and at 1,001st time, their healing power hit them, and they were healed. If I can just do that. Well, see, then you put it over into works. It's not by grace. That's not by faith, see. Faith just says, well, God's word says by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I must be healed. Amen. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to tell myself to start feeling right. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Now, I will say this, you know. You're never going to have enough faith, so much faith that you're going to stop life coming your way. Storms of life are going to come, aren't they? But when you base your life on the word of God, then you're going to be ready for the storms of life. And you're going to do it. But, you know, and you're never going to have so much faith that you're not going to age. All of it. How many of you can testify to that? Any of you getting older in here? More experienced, I mean. Not older. More experienced. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It happens. It happens. I was thinking this summer, in November of this year, it will be the 21 year anniversary of the first trip I made to Africa, to Kenya. And I'm thinking, 20, man, I was young back then. And you know, when you don't see people that often, you notice how much they've gained experience, if you know what I mean. You're like, oh boy, they've, and I guarantee you, when I get over there, some of them, first of all, they'll comment about how big I am. They always love that. There's a couple of them that always, you've gotten big, brother. Yes, glory to God. We have good food in America. Anyway, But then they'll say, oh my, you know, because I'll have the white hair, you know, and then this hair that's already gone home to be with the Lord, that hair up there. I actually told them that one time, and they were writing it down. So, no, I'm joking. I don't know where it went. I told them it was waiting for me in heaven. But they were writing it down in their notes. I said, no, sorry. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, we're not just hope. Hope is that confident expectation. We're not just saved by God. It's not just a one-time gift of God's grace. Grace is there for us to stand in now and to live in. Glory to God. So that's why we didn't get born again or saved, receive salvation by works, and you're not going to receive anything else from God by works, because you're going to have to stand in grace. Now this chapter, beginning in verse 14, I love this so much. I thank God for the book of Romans. What a wonderful, wonderful book this is. Of course, they're all great. I mean, you know, to rank them would probably be wrong. I think my favorite book in the Bible is Ephesians, probably because I've taught it for so many years that I just really enjoy teaching out of that. But here in Romans chapter 5, look down in verse 14 now. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who's the figure of him that was to come. Now see, from Adam to Moses, there was no written law given. There was no law. Moses brought the law. But he said still death was reigning. What kind of death? Well, separation from God. He goes on to say, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Everybody say free gift. Now again, can you pay for a free gift? No, it's free. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. In other words, Jesus never sinned. That it didn't come on us through a man that sinned. It came on us through a righteous man. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So that free gift wiped out our offenses against God. Anything we'd ever done that offended God was wiped out by a free gift. Jesus Christ. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. There's where the Amplified says shall reign as kings in life. Notice that have received. Now here again, grace has to be received. They that have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, see, that came through the grace. When you are in that position, how many Christians in here tonight? Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He's talking about you. Then you are in the position of one who is to reign in life as a king. Glory to God. You know, when a king speaks, it gets carried out, doesn't it? That's why you have the right and the authority to speak words and it come to pass. Because we're to reign as kings in life. Now, we're doing it God's way. I'm not reigning over you. I'm reigning in my life. I'm not reigning in your life. Now, I'm not talking about the R-A-I-N, right? We're talking about reigning as a king. Here, this is to reign in my life. He goes on to say, therefore, verse 18, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, there it is again, came upon all men unto justification of life. For if by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more, much more, much more abound. Glory to God. That as sin has reigned unto death, see, the wages of sin is death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So I think it's evident there that we are to be reigning in life because of this grace. Because grace is greater than our sin. Sin reigned unto death. Grace has delivered us from that death, that separation from God. Oh, this body may quit functioning, but I'm gonna keep on living, glory to God. I may lay this body aside, just like I took this jacket off. Take that jacket off. When I take that coat off, it's not moving around anymore. It's not conformed to my image anymore. It's just a piece of cloth. When I take this body off, it's just going to lay there. You've been to a funeral, haven't you? That body's just laying there. But that's the person's not there. That's just the jacket that they had on while they were on this earth. That the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Those that have died or fallen asleep, as the King James says, in Christ, they're not here on the earth wandering around. They're not in hell. They're in heaven with God. Hallelujah. They're more alive than they've ever been. I'm freer now to move around than I was before I had that on. Glory to God. And that's all it's going to be. That's probably about what it's going to feel like, just taking it off. Hallelujah. Now, that doesn't mean we go out in the street so we can get rid of it quicker and play in the street. No, I'm not talking about that. And we ought to believe God, you know, and live as long life, as long as you want to live. And when you're satisfied, then just go. Right? Amen. But we're to reign in life. We're to, because of God's grace. And again, I can't do anything. We can't do anything to earn it. It's given to us by a free gift. So, being made, the Bible says, we've been made kings and priests unto our God. Being made a king in life. Right? And ladies, in this, you're a king. Don't worry about, well, am I a king or am I a queen? Just reign in life, okay? You're in charge. You're sitting on the throne in your life. What do I mean by that? Well, I understand that. But he told us to reign in life. He's given us the authority to reign over our own life and to control our life by obeying his word and doing his word said. But it's free. You didn't have to pay anything to get there. You didn't have to bribe anybody to get there. Glory to God. It's by the grace of God through faith. So, well, I don't understand it. Accept it through faith. Believe it. Faith believes in something that it cannot see. So I just don't understand that. How many of you in here believe that you have a brain inside you? Have you seen it? But do you believe it's up there? Why? Well, you read in a book that it's up there, right? You had an anatomy class or you had a biology class and they told you in the book, you have a brain up there. Well, you haven't seen it. Right? And if you do see it, something's gone wrong. You're not supposed to see the brain. Amen? Right? Just like you got a heart in this body, pumping blood in there. All right? You're not supposed to see it. If you do have to see it, something's gone wrong, and they're trying to fix it. But it's in there. I haven't seen it, but I can, and here's the other thing. I sure do know the effects of it. Right? I may not fully understand this. I may not have seen it. But it says that God's more true than that biology book, that anatomy class I had, whatever that is. God's word is more true. It can be counted on. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm reigning in life by grace. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your mighty word tonight. Thank you, Father God, for the grace of God in our life. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. For the free gift of our salvation, the free gift of our righteousness, that we are to reign in life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That we are to reign in life over sickness and disease. We are to reign in life over poverty and lack. We're to reign in life over circumstances in our life. Glory to God. Because of your grace. Your grace makes us strong. And Father, we declare tonight that we are victors, not the victims. Hallelujah. Because of your grace. Thank you that you sent grace through and came by Jesus Christ. We give you all the glory and praise tonight, Father. Hallelujah. May this word, and may this the understanding of your grace permeate our lives. And Father, may we live in constant revelation and knowledge that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by your grace. Hallelujah, that we've come into this plan, and it's by your grace that we will stand. And we shall go forth and walk and live this life forever how long we have on this earth, and forever how long eternity may be. It's endless. It cannot be numbered. And we'll do it by the grace of God. Father, we thank you, and we bless you, and we honor you. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the grace of healing power right now that's moving in this room, healing bodies right now. Just receive your healing. If you have need of healing, just reach up and say, it's mine in Jesus' name. You have it because God's grace has provided it. Just receive it through faith. Thank you, Father God, for moving. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How's God going to deliver that loved one of yours? He's going to do it by his grace. How's God going to reach that one that you think is unreachable? He's going to do it by his grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. We give you praise and honor tonight in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, Glenn and Heather, why don't you come on up here. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life before, never received him, hallelujah, I'm going to have you come and talk to them as soon as we dismiss. If you need prayer for anything, they're going to pray with you according to God's word. Now, why is that important? Because that's where results come from. It's by believing and acting on God's word that we get the results in life that we need. And if it's not in God's word, I just really don't want it. Isn't that true? You don't want anything that's not from God's word, but thank God he's covered everything that you might have need of in his word. He said he'd give you the desires of our heart. I like to think of it this way. He put those desires in there, and he's going to bring them to pass. Amen. I don't want anything that's not from God anyway. People say, well, what if God didn't want you to have that? Well, he already said in his word what he does want me to have. I'm looking at those things. I'm not spending time on what he doesn't want. Amen. Everybody stand up if you would. Glory to God. Again, if you need prayer, you come on up here. Come up and pray with Glenn and Heather. Will pray with you. Glory to God. And you'll receive whatever it is that you have need of. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you shake hands with, at least 3.5 people before you leave. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that God's good. Amen. And just greet one another. God bless you. Anything great? First-time guest? Connection team, if you find our first-time guest, we want to make sure they get that special gift prepared by Pastor and Mrs. Hagan and Craig. And on behalf of Rhema Bible Church, Oklahoma City, that you get that gift from them. God bless you. Be back here next Sunday. Amen.